Welcome to the ProWrestling.net free podcast. I am Jason Powell, and coming up here just momentarily, an interview with Ring of Honor wrestler Matt Taven. And before we get to that, I do want to tell you the time is running out. We have extended our Royal Rumble sale. We don't do very many sales at ProWrestling.net on our ad-free membership, so this is a rare opportunity for you to become a member to our ad-free site and hear all sorts of audio content, nearly 10 years worth of audio history, for just $1.50 for 1 month. You can also save $6 off the usual price of our 6-month, annual, and new 3-month membership options. All you have to do to take advantage, just enter the coupon code DOTNET2018, DOTNET2018, altogether, when you visit the main page of ProWrestling.net and then click into our sign-up area. We also have all this information on hand for you in a special sale listing on the main page of ProWrestling.net. It should be near the top of the page when you go there. And so if you don't remember the coupon code DOTNET2018, it's okay. It'll all be available for you there. But please note that this special is ending this week. And I don't mean late in the week. I mean Tuesday. We're done. It's over. So get in while you can and take advantage of this rare membership special. Again, $1.50 for just 1 month of membership, or you can take $6 off the price of our usual 6-month, annual, and new 3-month membership option. It's a great time with WrestleMania season here to sign up for .net membership, so jump on it while you can. If you have any questions on this, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet or shoot me an email at .netjason@gmail.com. Coming up after this brief break for non-members, again, my interview with ROH wrestler Matt Taven.
Ring of Honor in Concord, North Carolina on Friday, and then a big event in Atlanta, Georgia at Center Stage on Saturday. Plus, a very exciting time with the launch of the Honor Club streaming service described as imminent by Ring of Honor. Let's start with that with my guest today, Matt Taven. How big of a deal is Honor Club's launch? Is this a game changer for this company?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a huge deal, and with the way people are watching wrestling today, obviously it's changing, and it's moving more towards the streaming service. This is something that's long overdue. Also, you know, selfishly, and maybe some of the other guys feel this way, but sometimes I feel like our best work happens at these live shows, and no one gets to see it, or, you know, the VODs go up, but, you know, people maybe not, they don't go out of their way to go find it after knowing the results. But with all these shows now going to be streamed live, you know, obviously all the guys are looking to step up their game, because now everything that they do is going to be seen by more people. But it's an exciting time, because I can't really think of a show, whether a TV taping, pay-per-view, or live event that Ring of Honor has put on lately, that hasn't been one worth watching. So I couldn't be more excited to have more eyes on the product, and it's just another step in the growth of Ring of Honor.
Absolutely. Now, the Briscoes have been guys who have pretty much made a career out of working almost exclusively for ROH, and Jay Lethal's been there a long time now. And with the growth and all this even remaining upside, even after Honor Club, does it seem more viable than maybe it did when you first started that, hey, you know, WWE's the big dog out there, but maybe, just maybe, if a person wanted to, they could make a full career just staying in Ring of Honor now?
Well, I mean, I think that's become more and more evident, you know, especially in the last year with guys like myself, the Young Bucks. You know, obviously you mentioned Briscoe and the Lethal, deciding to stay with Ring of Honor and really having, like, pride in the company. And, you know, when I first started, man, I mean, it was iPay-per-view, and, you know, some of those iPay-per-view streams were questionable. I can remember our first pay-per-view, you know, and then doing the bouncing around from Destination America and all that stuff. It's just, there's been so many changes in Ring of Honor, but all the changes always are positive ones, and they're always ones that are moving forward and continue to grow the company. So as you look to the future, you know, Ring of Honor is on that upward trend where, you know, it's a place that you want to be and you want to be a part of. And you know, I'm hoping that when people look back in the history books, you know, not only were these guys there at the ground level, but they were able to be franchise players for Ring of Honor and, you know, be there as Ring of Honor grows into the company that we all hope it will be.
Now, you'll be teaming with TK O'Ryan, Vinny Marsaglia, as the Kingdom, of course, and challenging for the ROH six-man tag titles in North Carolina. Tell me about the formation of the new Kingdom. Did you have input in terms of who was going to be in the group, or did they just say, hey, Matt, meet these two guys. They're going to be in the faction with you. How did that work?
Well, if that was the case, then it would be the biggest coincidence of all time that they decided to pick two of my closest friends to be in the group with me.
Right.
So, you know, with the Kingdom as it was before my injury, obviously it was me and Adam and Maria and Mike, who were all really, really, really close friends. And then, you know, with the tag team of and then myself, with two guys from the New England area, came up together, you know, were part of that New England independent scene for so long. And, you know, in life, we're the best of friends, you know, the three of us along with Cole, we're traveling together. But with me and Bennett being so close together as far as proximity, you know, of the places that we lived, both being here in New England, it was just one of those bonds that, you know, thank God we liked each other because we were stuck with each other all the time traveling. And it's one of those things where there's those friendships in wrestling that don't need any effort, that don't need any figuring out, that the chemistry's there and it's just so natural. And that was something that we had with Mike and myself and Maria as well as part of the tag team. So, you know, when you get hurt and you have a long, long time to think about every aspect of your career and, you know, you think about things and probably overthink things in a lot of cases. I knew that the one thing that I really wanted was for that chemistry to be the same, you know, no matter what I did when I came back. And, you know, I thought about it long and hard, and Ring of Honor had plans for a six-man division, and there was all these different kind of movement going on in Ring of Honor with guys like Vinny and TK getting looks and tryouts and already being on their radar. So, like, the kind of all the stars aligned. And, you know, when I was coming back and told Ring of Honor my idea for what I wanted to do, they were on board with it 100%. And obviously I was on board with it because, you know, like I stated, Vinny and myself, man, I mean, since day one is an understatement. I mean, this guy I trained with Spike Dudley. I mean, we've gone through basically everything you can in the wrestling business together. And it was a no-brainer that if I was going to be back and traveling around, I'd want my best friends around with me and to have that chemistry that I talked about with Bennett. TK O'Ryan was another guy that came from Spike School that, you know, was a former collegiate Division I baseball star, kind of jumped into wrestling a little bit late, like myself, but one of those guys that picked it up real quickly. And, you know, another one of those guys where you hang out, you know, once with the guy and it feels like you've known him forever. So the three of us were thick as thieves, and we were by each other's side all the time as it was. So it kind of was a no-brainer for me to have these guys with me, because coming back from an injury is tough. And I mean, I'm as confident as I am with my skill, it's still, you don't know how your knee is going to hold up. And to have that support system around you of close personal friends now on the road with you, now working together with you, is one that I wanted and I was very happy to have when I came back.
Now, you've always been positioned as the leader of this version of the Kingdom. But lately on television, it feels like there's even more of a push to make, it seemed like almost early on it was try to make them seem like they're equal level, maybe. And but now it almost feels like you're being spotlighted more than you were before as the leader of this group. Am I imagining things, or is this an intentional direction, maybe even because of your latest program with Cody?
I mean, it could just be the fact that there's so much attention on this feud with Cody and myself. But to me, you know, there's no intentional labeling on my part. The three of us, you know, we're buddies. We know that no matter how the outside world perceives us, our real life relationship will stay the same. You know, and I'm sure that if you ask them, they would be on board 100% with calling me the leader just because I was here first. But that's not how I look at that relationship. At the same time, you know, there's stuff that we could do in the six-man tag division, and I would love to do that. I felt like our title reign was cut short, unfortunately, because of injury, which is just, you know, it's one of those things that you look back on and you constantly feel like you got robbed. Like, that's just not how this movie's supposed to end. You know what I mean? There's got to be another way that this was supposed to go down. So there's unfinished business there. But TK and Vinny know that, you know, a main goal of mine, since they've joined me in Ring of Honor and just in general, is to become that Ring of Honor world champion. And unfortunately, you can't have three guys hold the world title, but they know it's something that I have my sights set on. I'd be the first man in history to hold all the Ring of Honor titles. And be the first ever Grand Slam champion. And, you know, they're excited for that goal as much as I'm excited for their goal of winning the tag title. So if it seems like that, probably just circumstance, because we're as tight of a unit as there's ever been and we've ever been.
Well, you guys are obviously friends, as you made it clear, but you have seniority, at least in terms of Ring of Honor. And
sure.
You mentioned TK started late. So is there something of a mentorship? Are you mentoring these guys in some way, or is it, we're just buddies?
I mean, I guess you could say that a little bit just because of the things that I've experienced before them. You know, Vinny, like I said, has been wrestling as long as I have, but at the same time, I was able to, you know, get out and get more international experience, get more television experience and pay-per-view experience before he had the chance to. So, you know, there's a little bit of mentoring on that end for Vinny. And TK, you know, he calls me Papa Taven, and I assume that's for a mentoring reason, not just because I'm a little bit older than him, which would be, you know, a very underhanded rib there. But he's young in the business, you know, a guy that picks it up naturally, and you know, it makes me feel even older. The 7 years that I might have on him, I'm able to tell him, you know, the things that I've experienced and learned, and kind of let him have a little bit of a shortcut to where I am now. So, sure, I guess there is a little bit of a mentor relationship when it comes to the Kingdom, but at the same time, it's nothing where they feel like they have to answer to me.
So on TV, you come off as the leader, and then you have TK, who I would argue almost seems like, I mean, he could be your younger brother or something. And then you have Vinny, who's just out there completely. You know, he's, I guess, the closest to the, if I have to compare him to somebody, it's Eric Young. So just talk about the makeup, and it didn't seem like Vinny was necessarily going in that direction when it started. Was that planned, or was this kind of, hey, let's push this, let's come up with something unique for Vinny?
Well, you know, in classic action movie trios, there's got to be the looks, the muscle, and the wild card. And I'll take the looks department, obviously. And we'll put TK as the workhorse, since he's the young former baseball player there. And obviously, I think you can figure out who the wild card is. And Vinny, you know, at first, people didn't know that this personality, let's say, existed inside him. But anyone who knows Vinny knows that this, you know, Horror King title that he's put on himself could not be any truer. I mean, you just have to take one step into his house and you're in like a horror museum to know that this guy is, he's everything that you think he is. So the dynamic seems to work for us just because, you know, we don't step on each other's toes. We all kind of seem to know our roles and cover all bases.
Now, so you've kind of touched on it here, but you and Mike Bennett win the ROH tag titles, you end up dropping those titles to War Machine, and during that match, you tear your knee up significantly. And then flash forward to 2017, and that's when TK suffers his own significant leg injury, the guardrail spot. Were you, at this point, are you starting to feel snake bit with this?
starting to feel like there's a conspiracy.
No kidding.
You know, like, who set up this outside outside padding that caused me to tear my ACL since I landed half on the padding, half on the concrete, or why were the guardrails so close for TK to break his leg? You know, it sounds fishy to me. I mean, there's times where you look back and you're like, wow, are we cursed? But that's all in the moment. You know what I mean? That's all when you're first kind of reacting to the situation. And obviously, you know, as the cliche goes, this isn't ballet, but injuries are part of the game. And unfortunately, you know, an injury happened to me, an injury happened to TK, but that's not what's going to define us. What's going to define us is how we returned. And, you know, we're still looking for a proper rematch for our six-man title since we never lost them as a unit after TK getting hurt, and we've never had a proper rematch with the Kingdom versus the current six-man tag titles, which is just another layer to this conspiracy that we're wondering what's up with. But, you know, with the unfortunate injuries, the biggest goal is to get back to where you were. And, you know, obviously I feel like my knee is probably never going to be the same again, but, you know, it's definitely getting back to the level where it was before. TK's back on top of his game. Now we just want to get those titles that we had before the injury and make everything complete.
Have you looked into maybe an insurance policy on Vinny's leg?
I don't know if you know the history of wrestlers, but I'm not sure if there's any company that would take that policy, because the rate of injury for a wrestler, for something to go wrong, or for just the unpredictability that wrestling is, as a whole, I'm not sure if there'd be any insurance salesman that would jump on that one.
Sure as hell won't be Lloyd's of London, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no, I think they've learned their lesson.
Yeah. Now, with, I guess, one question, your injury happens in an ROH ring, or technically a ringside, but you're on the clock for ROH. How does that work in terms of who's on the hook for the surgery? Are you compensated during that time? Tell people what happens when something like that goes down.
I mean, you know, in a lot of cases, we're independent contractors, and, you know, we take these risks on our own, and when something happens, you know, we're kind of on the hook for it. In my case, being under contract with Ring of Honor at the time, Ring of Honor, you know, continued to pay me my salary. I was thankful for the insurance that I have that, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that don't have insurance that are putting their bodies on the line wrestling, which is why you see things like GoFundMe and stuff like that. I was fortunate enough to, you know, be covered and have my surgery covered. Also, Ring of Honor was fantastic to me to continue to make sure the nightly rate that I would have had if I was at these shows was still covered. And also at the same time, my contract expired only 2 months after surgery. So it was a really weird time where, you know, you're negotiating and you're seeing what else is out there, but at the same time, you have no idea what your future is in the first place.
Oh, wow.
So it's hard for other companies to, you know for sure what they should invest in you if physically you're not even sure what the future might hold for you in the first place. But at the same time, Ring of Honor, as I said, they were taking care of me at the time that I was hurt. They also, you know, reached out to me and really gave me their show of confidence that they were looking to move forward with me in the future. And at that time, you know, I was in rehab and stuff for the knee, but, you know, I couldn't even tell where I was, you know, as far as coming back or how long it was going to take. But without even a question, the Ring of Honor office reached out that hand to me. It's something that I'll always be grateful for. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, being a lifetime Ring of Honor guy, making a career out of it, it's moments like that. And, you know, there's other examples that guys have personally that make them loyal to a company that's on the rise where there's, you know, there's other options out there. So I will never forget that as long as I live. That Ring of Honor did that for me, and it'll always be in my mind no matter what decision I make in the future.
Well, doing math here, you said a couple of months after the injury. I mean, where are you contractually with ROH these days? Are you coming up again shortly, or are you locked in?
Oh, I'm locked in, brother. I'm in there. I'm trying to remember now. It's time seems to fly by. That initial contract that happened during the injury was for the following year, and you know, recently, a couple months ago, it seems like recently, you know, the time came up again, and with everything going on in Ring of Honor, the theme that we have, the future looking as bright as it does, I had no doubt in my mind that this was the place to be. So, you know, as of right now, I'm still with Ring of Honor under a Ring of Honor contract, and for the foreseeable future, we'll be here with ROH.
Very good. And did you come close to signing with WWE at one point? I remember being told they really like him, but something fell through. This was, I don't know, a couple years back even?
There's always times where different things are said or thought or whatever. And just like in life, nothing is for sure until it's a done deal. So I pay no attention to that kind of stuff.
When you come back from the injury, was there any consideration given to bringing you back as a babyface? You're coming off that surgery. There's that natural sympathy that that's generated with fans. What was the thought process on how you ended up coming back?
Well, you know, it was talked about at the very beginning, and I don't know. There's something in me that when it comes to Ring of Honor fans, I could not see myself as a babyface, especially at that time period. And when I came back, I felt like it was definitely the right move. When it comes to, you know, when we're in Boston or whatever, obviously I'd get that reaction. But overall, my personal disdain for Ring of Honor fans and their disdain for me is something that seems like it'll last a lifetime. So I have absolutely no problem being exactly myself, which, you know, if Ring of Honor fans want to hate me for that, then, hey, what can I do about it? As far as other places, you know, I went down to CMML, which was the first spot after coming back from injury, as a babyface. So, you know, it wasn't completely out of the question, but thinking of the place I was returning to as far as Ring of Honor, there was really no doubt in my mind that sticking on this path was the way to go.
Yeah, you mentioned CMLL, and you've been, I would say, the most active ROH wrestler since that partnership was agreed to, as far as you actually making trips down to Mexico. How did that all happen, and is that something you push for?
You know, it's something that it really came out of nowhere, and I'm a wrestling, you know, it's so funny because, you know, people say, oh, a wrestling historian, which really means a crazy lunatic nerd mark, which is what I am, which is what I am for wrestling. I mean, I've been a wrestling fan legitimately since I was five, six years old, you know, as long as I can really remember.
Sure.
And going down, you know, Mexican wrestling, there was always like really three, maybe four major stops that people would always talk about. It's obviously the United States, Japan, Mexico, and the UK. It's like, these are the places that are wrestling hotbeds. And, you know, if you want to make yourself a complete wrestler, you have to stop in these places and learn the style that they wrestle in these different areas. And guys that I looked up to, guys that I, you know, idolized growing up, you know, the Chris Jerichos of the world, talking about places like Arena Mexico and the atmosphere in there. It was on my list from the beginning of my career, from, you know, day one of training. When you picture yourself, it's like, all right, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to go there. And Arena Mexico was definitely on that list. So while I was hurt, CMML and Ring of Honor and New Japan, you know, they have this partnership, and obviously the CMML ROH part of it was starting to come to fruition while I was hurt. They reached out to ROH asking if I was able to come down there. Obviously, being injured, I kind of thought I was going to miss the opportunity, And, you know, they CMLL actually said that they would, you know, maybe wait out a little bit and bring me down if I could make it in September. Now, my plans the whole time were to come back to ROH in October, which is roughly 9.5-10 months after surgery. My first diagnosis or the first doctor I saw before I got surgery told me it would be 2 years before I wrestled again.
Oh, my God.
The surgeon that I had to have multiple surgery because of the amount of damage I did to my knee, all in one mighty swoop. But the guy that I finally went to, you know, realistically wanted me to take a year before coming back. I told him 6 months. We kind of handshake dealed at 9. So to appease him, I was like, all right, 9.5-10 months, I'll come back October, I should be fine. All of a sudden, the CMML thing pops up, and, you know, the wrestling historian that I am starts to kind of take over your mind as like, no, you can do this. You can come back a month early and go to a foreign land where you don't know anyone and wrestle every night on a knee that you're unsure of. You can definitely do that, which is exactly what I did. You know, I had great physical therapists. I was doing all my rehab down at the Brigham's at Gillette Stadium where the Patriots are. So I was in good hands with people that know athletes. And realistically, they kind of were like, all right, you know, we can do this. They seemed unsure, but they definitely saw the fact that it meant a lot to me. So, you know, we pushed it into high gear. And ready or not, you know, I went down to Mexico in September, and my first matches back from surgery were doing lucha down in Arena Mexico on a Friday night, which was, you know, one of the craziest atmospheres I've ever been a part of, and still to this day is a reason why I love to go back.
Well, and I mean, even putting the knee aside, what an adjustment that is, just to make that transition. Maybe speak to that a little bit.
I mean, it is quite an adjustment. And, you know, from everything from, you know, your opening lockup is done basically with the opposite side. So it's so different, and just the technical aspect of how matches are put together. And obviously, you know, I did so many trios down there, those being three falls. It's just it's like you're thrown into another world, and you have a slight grasp of what you're doing, but you just kind of have to learn on the fly, which is something for me that, I don't know, maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, but I kind of revel in those moments where it's like, oh, you think this is going to be hard? You know, people asking me, are you sure you want to go to Mexico City? You know, you're a mile up in the air, you're trying to come, you know, their first match is back in almost a year. Are you going to have the wind to do that? It's like, well, why don't you watch me? I'll show you how it's done. And, you know, I took a lot of pride in the fact that at the very end of that tour, as much as maybe the first week was a little bumpy trying to figure things out, but at the very end of that tour, I knew that they had called me into the office and told me that they wanted me to come back. So I knew I had made a very positive impact, and I came there and I did what I was setting out to do, which was make my name down there so they couldn't deny me and they would have to have me back.
Well, you mentioned Gillette Stadium. You're a New England guy.
I didn't want you to bring this up.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm a Minnesota guy, so I was there 2 weeks earlier. How are you doing today?
It's a little rough. It's a little rough only because I have so many friends that are from Philadelphia or are Eagles fans, and they just, Philadelphia fans are the worst. You know, I feel like they're like Boston fans before the Red Sox won. Like, before the Red Sox won the first World Series, you know, even after the Patriots, you know, had a couple of Super Bowls, there still was just like this anger in Boston. And it was pent up for so long. And I think, like, after the Red Sox won, we finally let a lot of that go. But the Philadelphia fans still had that anger. And they have it in droves, obviously, if you've seen any of the videos of last night. But
is the city still standing?
I had a tongue-in-cheek tweet earlier that I blew my ACL out there, so I don't care if they burn the whole city to the ground. And I was just asking for it because so many Philadelphians attacking me on Twitter now. But again, with my, you know, I was in a fraternity in college, and half of my fraternity is from the Philadelphia area, so I've been getting nothing but texts and messages about, you know, how I suck, the Patriots suck, Brady sucks, all this stuff. So I've dealt with that for the entire day. But, you know, it makes it a little bit easier that we've been to the Super Bowl 8 times in the last 18 years, that you can let the Philly guys have this one.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury. I'm a Minnesota guy, and they've been in the Super Bowl once since I've been alive, and I was too young to even have any recollection of it. So I've never seen my team play in a Super Bowl, and I was there in 99, technically 98 season, when Gary Anderson missed the field goal that would have sent him. So I feel your pain, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you definitely can. I mean, just what do you guys got, 5 rings now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not much to complain about where you got a ring for every finger, but I'm a big, you know, I grew up on wrestling and Boston sports, so I'm a big sports talk radio guy, you know, listening to it at the gym or whatever in my headphones, and you should just hear people in absolute hysterics today over one loss in the Super Bowl. You know, being 5 out of 8 in the Super Bowl isn't the worst thing that ever happened, but you would think the sky is falling in New England today.
I would trade them in a heartbeat. Oh, my God. Well, hey, man, any social media, and I don't know if you have Pro Wrestling Tee Store, anything like that you want to plug before we wrap this up?
Yes. If you know how to spell Taven, which, you know, I hope that you have half a brain and can figure that one out, it's T-A-V-E-N, no R in Taven, unless you're a complete moron. If you can spell Taven, which, again, I hope you can, you can find me on any social media platform. Facebook, Matt Taven on Twitter, The Matt Taven on Instagram, Pro Wrestling Tees, Matt Taven, or booking, you can email me at matttaven@gmail.com. So again, Taven's the name. If you want to find me, that's what you put down.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for the time, and best of luck with the Bruins. We share that in common. When the North Stars left town, I jumped on that bandwagon. So let's hope things go well for them.
Hey, incredible second half of the season so far. So maybe we'll just keep the ball rolling. And, you know, the Celtics are doing pretty good over here, too. So the winter sports are looking good.
Okay, everybody, that's it. The interview with Matt Taven. A big thanks to him for joining me today. And just another reminder, the ProWrestling.net membership special is available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. You should be able to find that story near the top, if not at the top, of our news listing. And enter the coupon code .net2018, and you will bring the price down from our average monthly subscription rate of $7.50 all the way down to just $1.50 for a full month of ad-free access. And again, you can also take $6 off the price of our 6-month annual or new 3-month membership option. All the details available at ProWrestling.net.